Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Lord. Buenos dias, Dios te bendiga. Anybody know that? Good day, God bless you in Spanish. And as most of you know, this last week I went on a missionary trip with Pete Jimerson and also my daughter Naomi to Mexico. And we went down there to bless a church with a friend of ours from Orlando, John, and his wife Mary. And it was a great, great experience, and I'd like to share with you a little bit about that today. First of all, just wanted to talk about going south of the border. The culture down there is very different, including the time, for example. When Pastor Juan of the church down there says he's going to pick you up at 8:15, we learned that that really means around 9-ish or so. The church services on Sunday were 2.5 hours in the morning and then 2.5 hours at night, which is 5 total, which has inspired me for this sermon. Tortillas, I found, were not just American marketing saying this is how the Mexicans are. It's really that way. Breakfast, you get tortillas. Lunch, tortillas. Dinner, tortillas. Come home from church at 10 o'clock at night, we'll have some tortillas. And Naomi got sick one day. She stayed home, and Maria, Pastor Juan's wife, sent home some food for us. What was it? Arroz con pollo, chicken and rice with tortillas. So that's definitely a different culture down there, including a different language, which I enjoyed. I took taken a little Spanish, and so it was exhilarating for me to try to think and remember some things and communicate with him. But Pastor Juan told us about one American evangelist who visited his church down there, trying to mix with the people and speak in the native language of Spanish. And so before his big revival sermon that night, this American evangelist greeted everybody at the door, trying to say good evening. Buenas noches. Can you say buenas noches?
Buenas noches.
Well, that's not what he said. He said buenas nalgas, which a lot of the congregation was graciously received that, but afterwards talked to Pastor Juan. What did he mean by that? Because buenas noches means good evening, buenas nalgas means nice buttocks. It's true, I'm sorry I had to say that up here, but they were very gracious in how they received this. Yes, Mrs. Lopez, welcome to church this evening. We have a wonderful sermon for you. Nice derriere that you have. But it was a great cultural experience, because even though the language barrier was there, you know what I found? Is that we all do really speak the same language as Christians. Because whether you be from Mexico or America or France, we had Frenchmen stop by our church this week. Those who are in Christ all speak the same language of heaven, which is Jesus Christ be praised. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. By His blood I've been set free. By His cross, that's my glory. I'm waiting for heaven, and I got a Father above who loves me. That's the language that we spoke down there, and they to us, of which was a common language, even though we used different words. And so, what a great, great experience to know my hermanos, my brothers down there, and hermanas, sisters in Mexico, and for us to get to know them, and they to us. Well, today, I'd like to talk with you about stewardship and giving. But I'd like to do that through the lens of looking at the Mexico trip, because I'm sure you'd all like to hear it. And I'd like to share with you about what God taught me, what I learned from our Lord about giving and possessions and treasures based upon our trip this last week. Number one, God taught me that you really don't need much to be happy in this world. Down there in Mexico, as soon as you cross the border from Brownsville, Texas, you enter a different world. And here are some statistics from just a few years ago. 10% of Mexicans have no access to electricity. 40% no access to drinking water, or good drinking water. 75% no access to sanitation services. 10% live on less than a dollar a day. That was just a few years ago. And where we went down there, the center of Matamoros is fairly nice. The mall is nice. Expand anywhere you go out from there, it just gets poorer and poorer. And most of the church down there, it's a big church, maybe 500 or so people, they live in houses about the size of our narthex. But the thing is they're happy. even though they have very little and they have a difficult life, they're very rich in faith. And isn't this what our Lord has said? Paul in 1 Timothy 6 says, "For we brought nothing into the world, can't take anything out of the world. If we have food and clothing, with these we shall be content." How about you, us Americans? We Americans, can we say that? In Luke 12, Jesus says, "Take heed and beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And James says, in James 2:5, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which God has promised to us, to those who love him?" Well, let me share with you about a rich man that I knew down there, Pastor Juan. Was he rich in money? Well, he said he grew up in dirt poverty. He had no shoes on his feet till he was about 9 years old. And yet he said one day, as he was walking down the streets, a young boy, an American evangelist on a mission trip, came by to him and had the courage and fortitude and love to go and hand him a gospel tract, just like this, that I got from Pastor Juan's church this week. "Qual religion salva?" Something like that. And he got that gospel tract, and he said that made him more rich than anything else. He came out of poverty to give him the richness of Jesus Christ and salvation. And now look at him years later. He's a pastor with a 500-person church. They have 2,500 kids in Vacation Bible School, all because one boy had the courage to share a gift with him of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is that what you count your treasure? It makes me think about that when I'm an American and we're surrounded by so much. This is where true treasure is. And another treasure that they have down there is time. You saw how they're kind of late sometimes in picking you up. No excuses coming, no apologies. That's just the way it is. It's a little slower. And talk about community down there. We had an evangelistic tent revival meeting on a Friday night. And we thought it was kind of long. That was 2.5 hours, too, into the evening. It was about 10 o'clock when we were done. And I thought, we're done. We're going to go home. Time to sleep. It's been a long day. No. One of the pastor's wives, Moses' wife, I think, brought two coolers full of tortillas. And everybody hung out for the next hour eating tortillas with hot sauce. There's always hot sauce with it. But the community that they were able to share, though they had nothing, though they live in small houses, though they don't have excess food or goods or possessions or fancy clothes or fancy cars, but they were rich. They were really rich. And I think we ought to understand from God, as it says here, or Paul in 1 Corinthians 1:26, "Consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what's foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God." You know what? God delights in taking poor people and making them rich. Because we got, guess what, a giving God. A God who delights in you being rich. And yeah, he's going to give us material riches in the world to come, maybe in this world. But I want you to ask yourself today, are you rich in him? Do you see yourself as wealthy because of the gifts that he has given you of community, laughter, a song in your heart, of his constant promise of provision for you, of being a father, of forgiveness, of all these things that we can almost take for granted, sinners that we are. But let's take stock again of what God has given us and made us rich in Christ. For Paul says again, "We're treated as impostors, yet are true, as unknown, yet well known, dying and behold, we live, as punished, yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing everything." O children of God. Amen. Another thing God taught me this week was, as it says here in Acts chapter 20, Paul says, "I commend you to the grace of God, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know how my own hands ministered to my necessities and those who were with me. In all things I've shown you that by so doing one must help the weak, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's our Lord's word, who lives right now in heaven. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So I also learned down there and saw and experienced what is the joy of giving, which God holds out there as an opportunity for you today. One of the pastors down at the satellite churches, his name is Moses. Another one's name is Israel. How about that? Well, Moses, Pete, got to go to his house. How big was it, Pete? Wasn't as big as a narthex. Two rooms with an add-on kitchen. What was over your head? Tin roof. No ceiling. How did he receive you? He received you wonderfully. And John and Mary, who we went with whom we went, also visited his house, stayed with him. They didn't speak any Spanish. Moses doesn't speak any English. They tried to talk as best they could for several hours. And you know what happened the next day when John and Mary had to leave that house? Moses and his wife began to virtually cry, tears welling up because of giving the gift, the great joy to them of giving. Is that what is ready for us too? The joy of giving, tears rolling down because we were blessed to be able to give. For Romans 12 says, contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. They are doing it. Hebrews 13, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Titus 1, a bishop, a pastor, one of his requirements is that he be hospitable and a lover of goodness. And so the joy of giving. Let me share with you about my greatest joy in Mexico. My greatest joy down there on this trip, I love the culture, the language, getting to see the sights. But my greatest joy really was the day when Naomi, Pete, and I and some others went to give the toys that we raised at her school to the children in the poorest sections in the outer Matamoros suburbs, which are basically shacks. Upside-down cars, Naomi. Chickens roaming around, which is not uncommon or a problem, but dirt, muddy streets, basically living in little cinder block homes that are not finished. Nothing. And yet to go and give them toys that they wouldn't normally see, that was the greatest joy for me. And I made a mistake, though, I'll tell you about. On the second place we stopped and gave toys, I was trying my Spanish. I backed the kids up, patras, patras, and they kept on encroaching me like birds after some feed or something. And after a while, I just couldn't contain them anymore. They just kept coming at me. And I was saying, silence or close, silencio, cerrado. But they kept on coming. Finally, I said, okay, libre, free. At which point, all the kids descended on the rest of the toys en masse with a violent kicking motion, which happened to hit Naomi several times, tackled her. She wasn't too happy about that, but maybe with time that'll be a happier memory. But the thing was, I'll just tell you, honestly, that was the highlight of the trip for me. What I received by giving. And I learned the truth of this proverb, my friends, Proverbs 11:24. One man gives freely, yet grows all the richer. Another withholds what he should give and only suffers want. A liberal man will be enriched, and one who waters will himself be watered. And so in all these things, Paul says, I found, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's remember that. If you want to be a rich church, if we want to be rich in the Lord, let's count what true treasures are, and let's be liberal with our giving, because when you water, you yourself are watered. And that's the way it is in God's kingdom. That's the way he set it up. So let's sow bountifully that we may reap bountifully. Another thing I learned down there, being an American, is beware of all covetousness. You know, when I came back across the border on that last day, as often when I've gone overseas and come back, I think, thank God, thank you God, I'm in America again. You ever had that experience? Over there, you're not really sure if you can trust the police. Poor, it's a great experience, but boy, it is sure great to get back to Walmart, you know? Things like that. There you go. But we got to remember something. Jesus says, take heed And beware of all covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. The more you have, the more it can draw you to own you rather than you owning it. Pastor Juan told me a story down there. He said, once there was an old rabbi, and a man went to him. And he said, look out through the lattice of my window. What do you see? The man looked out, the poor outside, and he says, I see people. Well, what else do you see? I see that they're hungry. What else do you see? I see that they're lost. I see that they're sad. I see that they're anxious. I see that they're in need. And then the rabbi puts up a silver sheet in front of the window. And he says, like tinfoil. And he says, now what do you see? He says, I see myself, the reflection back. You know what? When we have silver in our hands, it can sometimes blind us. The more we have, the more we think life is really about me. You know? But the truth is, when we let that go, we can see clearly to see the needs of those around us. Is that an easy thing for you to understand? Yeah. Is it a hard thing to put into practice? Yeah. Jesus says in John 13, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. And it's easier said than done concerning this money. For Pastor Juan also told me this story. A pastor in Mexico went to one of his members out in the country. And he said, if you had two cows, would you give one for mission? One for the Lord and one for yourself? Absolutely, Pastor Juan. Yes, I'd give the one cow. And then he said, if a man has two chickens, should he give one to the Lord's mission and one for himself? Absolutely, Pastor Juan. Give one for the Lord and one for yourself. Pastor Juan says again, if you had two pigs, would you give one for the Lord and one for yourself? At that, the man said, ah, now I see that you're a sneaky, sly pastor, for you know I have two pigs. Do you believe in missions? Amen, you say. Do you believe in missions with your own pocketbook? Amen. And time and treasures? Well, I pray we all say yes. I'm not meaning to say you're guilty, because you are a very generous congregation. But let's take heed and beware, though, of all covetousness, because a man's life doesn't consist in the abundance of his possessions. And as Pastor Juan also said, I'm happy when I had nothing. I'm happy when I have enough. I'm more happy when I have more than enough. And it's great to be blessed by God, but let's not count that as if we earned it. And as he said, all that I have, God has given to me. And therefore, I always remember that, keep that in my mind. For those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and hurtful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction, says Paul. And many have wandered from the faith on account of it. And we remember also that there is a day upon which God gives back to all those who have given, not only in this life, but especially on the day of the Lord. And we're holding the festival next week, right? Scottish Highland Games for children. How much are we charging for it? Nothing. How much are we paying? Over $3,000 for it. We want to give a free gift like God gave to us. And Jesus says this, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. So brethren, brothers and sisters, hermanos y hermanas, let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. If someone takes away your coat, don't withhold your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And him who would take away your goods, do not ask them again. As you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. For give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. In conclusion then, what is our energy and where do we get the zeal for being able to do this? I'll tell you this, by receiving God's gift. It's more blessed to give than to receive, but you got to receive first from God. We love because he first loved us. If you're a sinner, you're in debt to God. But God has come and paid your debt freely of his own wealthy ransom treasury with the blood of his son, Jesus, that he has died for our sins. And this is love, John says, not that we loved but God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the expiation for our sins. Paul says, what should we say to this? If he did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? Would you listen and take that into heart today? Our God, the true God, the living God today, is a cheerful giver. And he wants his children to be like him. Cheerful givers. I'll conclude then with John 3:16, both in English and in the words of our Mexican brethren. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Porque de tal manera amó Dios al mundo, que ha dado a su Hijo unigénito, para que todo aquel que en él cree, no se pierda, mas tenga vida eterna. In Jesus' name, amen.